Well, I was born in London, brought up in Luton, brought up in a white, predominantly white area. And my dad used to, when I was a baby, he used to kind of commute to London and work in London from Luton. So it was like a 60-mile round trip. He works in factories. He was like literally working 8 till 8 up until I was about, 13, 14. I went to school, went to college, did engineering. I couldn't get a job. I joined the army. Left the army, did jobs here and there, ended up in Birmingham at Faircroft College, then became like a trade union rep and got involved in different campaigns. It was quite political. And now I'm working with asylum seekers, trying to make sure that they get a bit of justice in an unjust world. When I was at school, me and my brother used to get spat at. We used to go the long way home. I mean, you're talking about being spat at by people who are 24. And, when I've been 24, 20, even now, I look at kids, and no matter what they would do to me, if they're 14 and 15, I wouldn't consider even thinking about hitting. I mean, they're children, but yet you had a lot of the National Front and this kind of stuff. Yeah, we were very much rejected. And when I joined the army, it was pretty much the same. And the odd thing is, a lot of people in the army were like, they thought I was kind of. They literally, a lot of people said to me, "Look, if I was Asian, if I was a Paki, I would never join the army. You must be either crazy or really brave." And they were racist themselves, so they were kind of, look at it like that. But my expectations were I was going to get a lot of crap when I was in the army. I was going to get a lot of racism, so I was kind of prepared for it. I joined it in 86 to 89. I even went to the mosque with my dad because I was a Muslim at the time, and I thought, look, I need to kind of make sure that this is okay. I went to the mosque, spoke to the imam. The imam said, yeah, there is no kind of contradiction here. Good luck with that. That was Luton Mosque, yeah. So joined the army, left the army, started doing voluntary work in like these holiday centre people with disabilities, and then people kind of treated me with a lot more respect. And since then, I wouldn't say I've suffered. I mean, I might have suffered institutional racism, but not at the level I had when I was, I mean, it was like pretty raw when I was younger. But I have kind of a lot of memories of my dad. It's kind of more of an emotion than a memory, but I kind of remember feeling very secure around my dad because, he was always there kind of thing. And I think I would say he was a pretty cool guy. He loved cars. He used to take us a lot to London to like model car shops or toy car shops or whatever, yeah? And he would kind of buy little models for me and my brother. He's also a very political man. He used to watch the news. We all used to watch the news with him, and that had a massive impact on me. He was very kind of modest. I think it was part of the Islamic thing about, you kind of give to charity, but you don't make a big thing of it. He came in, I think, in the late 50s, 60s, and he was from, I think he's from Rawalpindi. He came over when he was 17, 18, when it was kind of easy to come to the UK, and he just started working in factories in London. I respected him. I think he respected me. I think he would want to be preferred if I was a doctor or something like that. But he kind of liked the fact that I was political in that sense. He was a chill dad, I mean, he always used to make us do maths homework, but he made us do silly maths homework. Like, we had to kind of memorize the 19 times table or the 18 times table, which is a bit kind of pointless, but it's more about memory. But he did his best. He did his utmost best to kind of, get us a decent education in a sense. So, I respect him for that. But he never talked that much about the racism he suffered. But I'm sure growing in the 50s and the 60s, he would have suffered it. But I guess, like I said before, he kind of just got. I mean, he had a motorbike when he was here. He had like really bought American cars, not new ones, really crappy old ones. Used to do them up and that kind of stuff. So he kind of just got on with it. It was that old Britain he kind of liked as well. And when we used to go to all these model train fairs, we were the only Asian people there. We were the only Asian, and everyone loved him. Everyone loved him. And they kind of, when he started coming back, because he was on and off ill, you could see there was a deep sadness in all this like model train community that he wasn't kind of there, or he was coming less and less because he really was part of the furniture. I think I've learnt affection from my dad. When he used to tuck us into bed, I remember he used to kind of put the blanket over our feet and under so that, our feet wouldn't kind of stick out. So there were very affectionate things he used to do, and I think I've kind of picked that up. So I'm kind of, tactile towards my daughter. If I come home, I'll always say, "Come here and give us a hug," and I'd kind of make her kiss me cheeks. My dad used to, with my daughter, he used to, it was called the granddad kiss, and she'd have to have this routine where she'd have to go to him. He'd kiss her forehead, chin, nose, both cheeks, both hands, and then give him a hug. But it's kind of sweet to watch. And a lot of people say, "I am like my dad." Yeah, he's pretty chilled and relaxed. And I would say I'd like to think I'm kind of the same.